F. Marion Crawford, An Introduction. Frances Marion Crawford, an only child, was born on 2nd of August 1854 at Bagni di Lucca in Italy. He was a nephew to Julia Ward Howe, the American poet and writer of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Crawford was educated at St. Paul's School, Concord, New Hampshire, and then on to Cambridge University, the University of Heidelberg, and the University of Rome. In 1879, he went to India to study Sanskrit and then to edit the Indian Herald. In 1881, he returned to America to continue his Sanskrit studies at Harvard University. His family became increasingly concerned about his employment prospects. After an attempt at a singing career as a baritone was ruled out, he was encouraged to write. In December 1882, his first novel, Mr. Isaacs, was published and was an immediate hit, as was his second novel, Dr. Claudius, in 1883. In October 1884, he married Elizabeth Burdan, and encouraged by his excellent start to a literary career, they returned to Sant'Agnello, Italy, to make a permanent home, buying the Villa Renzi that then became Villa Crawford. In the late 1890s, Crawford began work on his historical works, which would later include Corleone in 1897, the first major treatment of the mafia in literature. Crawford is also exceedingly popular and anthologized as a short story writer of bizarre and creepy tales. In 1908 came his classic, The Screaming Skull. Without doubt, its unsettling nature is heightened as the listener is drawn into the story by its narrator. Everything is explained and plausible, until, of course, it isn't. Frances Marion Crawford died on Good Friday 1909 at Villa Crawford of a heart attack. On the death of a cruel man, the terms of his secret are demanded from him to no avail. When the facts are finally revealed, his true evil has changed everything.
The Dead Smile by F. Marion Crawford. 1. Sir Hugh Ockram smiled as he sat by the open window of his study in the late August afternoon, and just then a curiously yellow cloud obscured the low sun, and the clear summer light turned lurid, as if it had been suddenly poisoned and polluted by the foul vapours of a plague. Sir Hugh's face seemed, at best, to be made of fine parchment, drawn skin-tight over a wooden mask, in which two eyes were sunk out of sight, and peered from far within through crevices under the slanting, wrinkled lids, alive and watchful like two toads in their holes, side by side, and exactly alike. But as the light changed, then a little yellow glare flashed in each. Nurse MacDonald said once that when Sir Hugh smiled, he saw the faces of two women in hell, two dead women he had betrayed. Nurse MacDonald was 100 years old, and the smile widened, stretching the pale lips across the discoloured teeth in an expression of profound self-satisfaction, blended with the most unforgiving hatred and contempt for the human doll. The hideous disease of which he was dying had touched his brain. His son stood beside him, tall, white, and delicate as an angel in a primitive picture. And though there was deep distress in his violet eyes as he looked at his father's face, he felt the shadow of that sickening smile stealing across his own lips and parting them and drawing them against his will. And it was like a bad dream, for he tried not to smile, and smiled the more. Beside him, strangely like him in her wan, angelic beauty, with the same shadowy golden hair, the same sad violet eyes, the same luminously pale face, Evelyn Warburton rested one hand upon his arm, and as she looked into her uncle's eyes and could not turn her own away,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?